Hey, everybody. This podcast is going to be split into two parts. I'm joined by Max, as always, but I have two distinguished guests. The first one is Seb Ostrovitz. Seb is the showrunner and the face behind Weightlifting House. If you don't know what Weightlifting House is, it's probably the biggest fixture in media surrounding the sport of weightlifting. So if you want to see more of his stuff, definitely check out weightliftinghouse.com, or you can go to his YouTube channel, Weightlifting House, or his podcast, which is a really good podcast. Max and Gabriel and I have all been on that. Also joining us is Gabriel Sincrayon. Now, Gabriel is a longtime elite weightlifter who's now currently retired. In the first part of this, we talk about his career, we talk about technique, we talk about training. And then in the second part, we talk about his dealing with performance and performance-enhancing drugs, doping control, and we talk about his sanctions that he received, most specifically the one around the 2016 Rio Olympic Games where he was stripped of his bronze medal. So that's it. That's the introduction. Let's get started with the show. All right, everybody. We are back. Training Make Podcast. I don't know what episode this is. I know we're into the 40s, Max.
Yeah.
Seb, you have never been on the podcast. I was just thinking about that.
Yeah, I have listened to your podcasts and seen you on YouTube. And then obviously we did the one with Owen the other day, which is a lot of fun. But no, first time on the Training Make, so it's a pleasure.
Yeah, we got desperate, so we had to get someone on.
But the most important guest today is Gabriel. Gabriel, thank you so much for joining us. What time is it in Romania right now?
Thanks also for inviting me. Now it's 10 p.m., 10 and 15 p.m. It's quite late because you see in the background it's night here.
Yeah. Already. It's like it's 2 o'clock for me, and Seb, it's probably nighttime for you as well.
Yeah, it's 8:15, but you know we're like Gabriel's quite nocturnal, I think, so this is a good time for him.
Yeah, I stay normally up to 12 p.m.
Okay, well, today we want to talk about training. We want to talk about the Olympics. We want to talk about your experiences, but you know, right now I want to get into. What are you currently doing? I mean, obviously with the pandemic, it's been hard to access gyms and so on, but what is your typical job been and what have you been doing? You know, if there wasn't a pandemic, what would your typical day be?
Now in Romania, we start from June 15 at normal program like before. Before if you see on my Instagram and stories, I work at the gym, at the CrossFit gym. Was open in 2018, and I know the guys, the owner, from another gym, and we was speak together, and we was speaking about weightlifting. They like also the weightlifting, and I started to work there. First time I was holding some CrossFit classes. But before this one, I was doing 6 months myself CrossFit, and it's really hard.
Yeah, it's. Did you find though that it was fun in the sense that you were so much better than everyone else at the barbell stuff? You know, if they gave you 60 kilo snatches, you probably had a lot more fun than.
No, because the first workout that I was trying was, if I remember right, was a 6 hang power clean with 60 kilograms, mm-hmm. 12 burpees, and 18 wall balls.
I bet you finished like, the hang cleans in the lead, and then by the time you finished the burpees, you were in last place.
No, was the workout was 4 rounds, and I was started very fast, and in second round I was dead. I was not. I was renounced the workout because was very heavy.
I actually saw on one of your Instagram, I think it might have been stories, because you sometimes you do questions and answers.
Yeah.
That you actually had really good fitness when you were training. That you would, I know that you've done a lot of, you would train with a lot of volume, but you would also move through your sets faster than most of the weightlifters on your team. Is that true?
Yeah. Yeah. Because when I was young, my coach here from my town, Cluj, we had the circuit trainings. And a circuit training in weightlifting, it's up to 9 exercise. And you start with 15 reps. And in second set, you do 12 reps. And in the last set, 8 or 10 reps. And we was working from 4 exercise to 9. And I was, at the beginning, I was doing this type of training. I was doing more reps, and I was used with high volume, because we in Romania, when I was convoked to the national team, we don't have, back then, we don't have in our training program, write it like at 80%, you need to do 3 sets of 3. We have written at 80%, you need to do 9 reps.
Nine reps.
And you split it up how you need to.
Exactly. How you want.
Max, and Max has been programming that exact thing for myself.
And I was having some days when I was completed 9 reps for 1 set.
And how, let's say, as you were preparing for the Olympics or when you were in your best physical shape, literally meaning the highest total you've been able to put up, did you find that you were more physically fit in the sense of you didn't need longer rest times than other lifters, or did the fitness kind of go down?
No, I was in the very good shape, because I like it all the time to work a lot of at lower weights, because you know the weightlifter after they start to lift some heavier weights, they become a bit lazy and they skip up a lot the warm-up sets, and I was enjoying to work there more, to spend more time in the warm-up sets in the sets below 70%. And I was doing their 3 reps, 2-3 reps all the time.
Yeah.
And after that, I was going higher. And if you skip this one, it's easier at beginning, but after a while, you will get injured quite often.
Mm-hmm. So when did you realize that you wanted to be a professional or elite weightlifter? When did you realize you had the talent for it, and then you started to pursue it further? You started to put more time into it. What age, at what point?
I think it was in 2000 or 2011, 2001, sorry. I was seeing first time Olympics. Olympics, I don't remember exactly the competition. Was or the Olympics in 2000 or the European Championship from 2001. And then I was seeing some good lifters at TV, at Eurosport. I think was the first competition that I was saw online, a big competition. And from that moment, I was knowing that I want to do same. And I was dreaming at this one every night before sleep.
When you started out at that, did you find like a professional coach right away, or did you start in like a different sport or a different club?
Yeah, because there in 2000, I was convoked at national team for youth. We have in Romania national team for youth, for juniors and for seniors. And so I was there in the Bistrița Năsăud, because my club from Cluj-Napoca was closed in 1998, I think.
So at what point, because I saw you said, I think it was on one of Clarence's vlogs, and then someone posted a video of it the other day, you started doing things like 20 sets of three in the snatch, like crazy volume. Was that something that you had to build up to over your career for that sort of volume? Or is that actually earlier on just to build work capacity and, you know, good movement, you actually did crazy volume like that, 60 reps in the snatch?
No, because I was starting doing this one because this was the thing that was helping to improve my speed in the lifts, because I was working up to 90%, 85%, how much was the program for a specific day, and I was completed my training, and after that I was lowering from the bar 10 kilograms, and doing three reps, and when I was reached at 80 kilograms, 70, I was start feeling the speed, and the speed was improved every time. And that is the reason that I was working like that, to improve my speed, because my coach always tell me that I'm slow.
So it wasn't like, so it wasn't like you were doing 70% for 20 sets of three. It was like you were doing one top single and then you'd be doing like 170 kilos and then you'd do sets of three at 120, 110, 100, 90, yeah, like really light.
Yeah.
Okay.
That I was performing at higher weights was at 170, I was doing five sets of two. And I think at 160, I was doing five sets of three without straps.
Without straps?
Yeah.
Were you dropping the barbell? Or were you lowering?
When I work it with straps or without the snatch was the same.
Okay.
Because I was learning it from here. You see, only I catch the bar and I let it down.
Yes.
And straps or without straps was the same movement.
Okay. Well, I think that's an interesting point that your coach always told you that you're slow. To our eye, you look like one of the faster weightlifters, at least at your weight class. And I think there's something to be said about that, that ultimately your weakness, because, you know, maybe not bully tacticking, you know, not bully tactics, but your coach telling you you're slow, it's in your brain all the time. It became ultimately your strength, at least to what I saw. Maybe your trained eye and your coach's trained eye, even when you were at your best, you might have still been in your mind slow. But that's a very interesting aspect. Do you feel like your speed was your strength in a way? Like, did you develop that speed and then it became a part of what made you successful?
I was normally all the time I was very very fast, but the mistake that I was doing was a training, because I was having very powerful legs, and in Romania we was born with in our mind that if you want to be a good lifter, you need to squat a lot every day. To squat four reps, five reps, and I was doing high volume almost all the time. And the legs, I was not working properly to do hypertrophy phase, to do strength, and after that maximal strength, because I was thinking back then that I need, I don't know, to do five reps at 70% right before competition, and this was the mistake, because this one was lead to become a bit slower than normal. And after that, when I was learning this and I was practicing in the training, and I was seeing when I work in maximal strength, if I keep my volume in squats really low at maximum two reps, I become very powerful. Very, very powerful.
Did you design most of your own training, or did you have a coach or a national team that was doing that for you?
I was not at all the time. I was not at all the time my trainings on the paper. And I was looking before competition or after competition what was going worst, and I was taking notes when I had a good day or something like that. And after that, I was trying to put all pieces together and to do a perfect program that worked for me.
Mm-hmm. What? How would you define for people the Romanian system? We had in the U.S. in the early 90s, Dragomir Sorislan came here.
Yeah.
And he was the coach of the national team. We actually had a very successful team under him. And his system, you know, his version of a system was, you know, was very different than what we had been doing in this country. There was, you know, very much like you described for yourself, but how would you describe the Romanian system of weightlifting for somebody who maybe doesn't understand or doesn't know it? What makes it, I guess?
Because now the things was change a bit, but mm-hmm. For my perspective, when I was growing up, I was having here in my town a very good coach. His name was Ștefan Tașnadi. He was a silver medalist on 1984.
Seb, that's a guy for you. Do you know him? Do you know who that is?
All I know is that 1984 was a highly uncontested Olympics because of the Soviet boycott. But even still, silver medal, it's pretty cool.
Wow, throwing some shade there.
So. yeah, was very good, and he was developed for us a very good training preparation because we were working more than only weightlifting. We was doing also some plyometrics. We was playing some football, some tennis, because we had a big gym. And in that gym, in that facility, was there more sports. And we was practicing a bit of all. And I think this one was helping a lot because I was doing also gymnastics. I was doing athletics, running. I was doing more sports at the beginning, and this one I think it's most important when you grow up, and this is the one mistake that they do now, because when they coach the weightlifters, they teach them from the beginning only snatch and clean and jerk, squats and few exercise, and they don't develop their true potential. And after that, when I was growing up, in Romania, we have something similar that very, very similar like a Bulgarian system. Mm-hmm. We work for simply simple because in the morning we have squats and pulls, deadlift, some accessory if you want to do from some mistake, if you want to improve your upper body or something. And in second part of the training, it's snatch and clean and jerk.
Mm-hmm.
So to what extent did you guys end up periodizing a whole training program? Because in the UK and in the USA, it's not uncommon for people to do sets of 10 in squats, even things like in pulls, deadlifts, maybe even push press, like really high volume stuff, all the way down to singles and doubles. Were you as extreme in terms of volume and intensity, or was it always, you know, high volume for you would be lots of sets of 4 rather than a couple sets of 10?
No, this part with high volume, you cannot maintain, or at least I cannot maintain a lot of time because I work like that, depend of how much time I have until competition. Mm-hmm. But I never worked like that more than 6 weeks. And after that, I was changing to strength and I was lowering the weight.
Mm. It's very interesting to me that you had a problem with your youth and maybe your junior athletes being too specific, snatch, clean and jerk only, because we're starting to actually see that in the States. There's a lot of youth lifters popping up, hitting very large numbers for youth numbers that are actually competitive in the world. And that idea of being so specific and building up a resistance to training at an early age, I think that's something that we fight as well.
Because it's normal, because they have good results, because at when you are a junior and you do senior trainings, because they do senior trainings, they do advanced trainings, and they have a very good progress, but this progress, it will be only on short term, because when they will switch to seniors and when they will face the true lifters, they will not maintain the pace with them. Because now in Romania, we have same problems, because if you watch at almost all junior and youth competition, we win almost everything, and we don't have seniors at all. Because yeah. Because the athletes, when they pass 20 years, they finish. They have a lot of problems. They have injuries. Because when what I think it's when you are when you are young, you need to practice a lot to do for more type of trainings, because you are in the growth, you grow, and you need to don't give it all when you are in this phase, because you have a lot of time, and it's important to think like that, because the actual results and the money, they come after you make 20 years, not before.
I think the most maybe famous Romanian lifter at the moment is, you know, Loredana Toma, 64, 2017 world champion. Does she follow a similar, I mean, do you know her well? And if so, do you know how her training looks? Did it follow the same trajectory as you, where, because she's over 20 years old now, she's still fresh, she's not injured, she's lifting better and better. Did she do this tremendous volume of GPP work early on and not push herself too much, like you're saying?
No, because we are from different cities, and I'm a bit older than she is. And when I was in national team in Bucharest, Loredana was in junior team in Botoșani, I think, in another city. And we had also different coaches. She had Constantin Nurdaș. He was a great lifter. And for what I heard, his Loredana coach has much harder trainings that I was doing.
Really?
Yeah, they do a lot of volume and a lot of reps.
See, that could also be a difference then between women and men. You know, the specificity could work better for women than it does in men, but it's, you know, it's hard to determine whether that's true. I also wonder if certain people can make it out of specific training and just keep progressing. Like if there's a crop of 10 lifters, chances are you should probably do a lot of GPP from when they're a youth to all the way through juniors, and then start to become more and more specific. But I'm wondering if there is a possibility that you take a bunch of, you know, youth lifters, you put them through a lot of specific training, and one or two or three of them are going to be able to make it through. I wonder if that's a possibility as well.
Don't know if I understand well the question, but I think here it's for what I was understanding, I think here it's important how the lifter it is born and what his beliefs. Because if you think that you don't do snatch, clean and jerk or squats, you cannot lift anymore, it will be hard to change the trainings and to do more stuff, because they will go down psychical and they will don't lift that much. But if you are, when you grow up and when you are young and you do much more stuff in the training and you are prepared for this one, I think it's the best thing. Because if you only doing snatching, clean and jerk and weightlifting trainings, it will be very hard to get past with your mind between trainings.
Yeah, psychologically.
Psychologically.
Right. Yeah, it's more damaging to make the numbers a part of your identity. I think, Max, you and I talk about this all the time. I think that Instagram is actually messing with people as well. You know, you get a lot of positive feedback for bigger lifts on Instagram. And then that will reinforce you needing to touch bigger weights and to snatch and clean and jerk and squat and pull, because everyone likes those things.
I was having one time when I was young preparation, and our coach was sick and he was not coming to the gym for 2 weeks, and he has a supplinator, another coach, and we was doing in training, we was playing with bike, we was playing football, we was doing boxing, and I was going to the national championship and I was winning. I was doing a bit better than that last competition. Because I was keep my muscle was keep moving, was keep maintaining that that muscular tonus. I don't know how it's in English, and I was able, because my mind was clear, and this is very important to have a clear mind. And when I was to competition, I was winning and I was doing a bit better than my last one.
Is there any point during the remaining training system where you get really advanced, maybe to the level you were, where you were, you know, basically meddling at the Olympics and at international competitions, where the specificity climbs so high that you're basically just running a Bulgarian style program and you're maxing out multiple times a day? Or is there always this underlying level of volume that you go back to maintain fitness?
I was like that when I was before Olympics in Rio 2016, because I was in that very good shape and I was not having any injuries or any kind of problem. And I was scared to try something else, to try something new. And I will only stick to the program. I was every 2 weeks, Friday, I was having not a max out, like a heavy single. And I was trying all the time to achieve 170, 172, 168 in snatch, like my first attempt or second in clean and jerk, 205 to 210, something like that. And trying to do a lot of weights, like I was preparing for competition, for first attempt, for second attempt, and trying multiple variation. And there I was scared to try something else because it was going so well.
Right.
And that was the preparation when I was doing only that type of training.
In the US, when people are doing well on a program, they love to try different things and do something completely off the program.
That is sarcasm.
Especially the lower the level of the lifter too. So with all that kind of being said, with your history of competition, you know, can you walk us through a little bit of, like, you know, competing at the World Championships, going to the Olympics, and then, you know, kind of, I guess, go through, you know, I guess some of that history leading, at least leading up to, you know, your Olympic debut.
When I was starting the preparation for Olympics was in 2015, and I was needed free training cycle because I was doing one before Houston 2015. Was like 4 months or 5 months because I was started a bit earlier, and second one was before European in 2016, and last one was before Rio. And in all this free cycle, I was doing almost same preparation, but I was getting better every time. And I think this is important when you have a program or something, not to doing like one time and after that to say that is not good, to doing 2-3 times to see actually the results.
I saw you in 2015.
Yeah.
In Houston. I think Zach was probably there too.
Yeah. Yeah. I was there at that one.
It was remarkable. It was stood out from the crowd for sure. That was a cool battle to watch.
It was my first competition after 2 years, Ben, in 2013. And I was a bit rusty.
But, so what was the difference between that? So in 2015, you did 167-200. I think it was 200 clean and jerk. And then 1 year later, you clean and jerk 217.
Yeah.
And I know that obviously you'd just come back from a ban. And then in 2016, you got another one. But outside of the obvious, was there any reason why you performed so much better at the Olympics?
Not many people know, but before Houston 2015, I was making a clean in training with 215, and was very easy. But there I was having problem at my split jerk, because at higher weights, when I was going over 200, I was not having enough overhead strength, because I was not working too much at this one. And what I changed between 2015 Houston and 2016, I was working a lot at my split technique, and I was improving also my overhead strength. And my strict press before Houston was 90 or 95, and before Olympics I was doing 115, and I could do more than that. Mm-hmm.
Thank you guys for paying attention. If you want to see us talk instead of listen, you can always watch our YouTube channel. This episode will be up there live within the next week. But thank you guys for listening.